Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Pop Culture Stars. This is Dr. John on the road tonight, coming back from Camden, South Carolina, on the way to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Todd from all the way up in Indiana, how you doing tonight, buddy?
Oh, man, I'm chilling out, literally. It's in the mid-50s up here. It's beautiful outside. I'm liking it. Not having to run any AC, and the place is staying comfortably warm. It's a beautiful thing, Dr. John. It's a beautiful thing.
It was beautiful.
I am outstanding the supernatural.
Well, you are pretty supernatural, buddy. I can tell you that. You sure are. I can say this. It is really, really, even though it was beautiful today, we have the flood waters from the Waccamaw River, and as I was passing one of the many roadblocks today, in fact, there was a policeman there, and I said, well, how bad is the road right down there? And he said, you know that bridge about 2 miles away? I said, yeah. He said, it's 8 feet underwater. I said, oh, I'm turning around. He said, good idea. So, we have, I know everybody else has got really nice weather, and it is beautiful. But people do not understand, if you are near the Waccamaw River, the Black River, or the PD River, the flooding is immense. As I was driving to Camden, South Carolina, one thing that I found is that there were so many houses halfway or three-quarters of the way underwater. So even though the hurricane is gone, and we weathered that storm about 2 weeks ago, we've got the flood waters. They're no longer rising, thank goodness. Most parts of Myrtle Beach were in terrible shape. And you know what? County seat of Conway, South Carolina, we've got houses 3/4 of the way underwater. So we are just lucky here, and I'm lucky that the flood waters dropped down, and I didn't have any disasters in my home. So all is well down here. And who else has just joined us tonight?
Is that a good introduction I get for calling in?
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Gee, who is this?
How you doing? I'm on the road trying to get back to ground zero, and good to have you on. I know you came to some you came into some really wet areas when you came back from taking Hurricane Florence on the lam. How's everything in Jacksonville right now?
Slowly but surely coming around. Just got power and AC fixed not too long ago, and just helping others around the area that need help with cleanup and debris and all that. So I was really blessed and lucky to be here and help people out that really got hit hard and stuff. So really thoughts and prayers are with the families that really got hit hard during this tragedy. But we're still getting back on our feet and blessed to be here. And I want to say a couple things. I only got a few minutes here, but thank you guys, some of you that called in last night during my podcast, WCW Retro. It was really cool seeing you guys there again. Also, to like to plug my movie premiere Saturday in Charlotte for the Charlotte Film Festival. The Maestro, done by Green Hero Films, will be premiering at 12:15 p.m. at the Arsley Grand Cinemas 14 in Charlotte, North Carolina, this Saturday. So if you guys in the Charlotte, North Carolina area, coming out, support not only my film documentary, Maestro, but all the great short films that would be played at Charlotte Film Festival this Saturday.
Well, that's great. We wish you well.
Nice.
I know everyone is going to enjoy that. When is that wonderful film going to be coming our direction over here toward the coast, Papa Strode?
Really soon. Matter of fact, it will be premiering in Hickory, North Carolina, at the Carolina Fan Expo October 12th at the Select Sportsplex in Hickory, North Carolina, for the Carolina Fan Expo, which will be October 12th 12th and 13th, I believe, that weekend. And it may be coming down closer to the coast. Once I get more information, I'll let you guys know. But the next one after this Saturday in Charlotte will be the Hickory Carolina Fan Expo, October 12th.
Well, that's great. Please let us know if we might be able to show that at the International Krampus Festival on November 30th and December 1st. Please let us know if we could work that out. We would love to have you there with that great film. So let us know, and we'll check that out, okay?
Absolutely, absolutely. That'd be great. Thank you.
Yeah, we'd love to have you there. So I take it you got somewhere to go here in just a little bit.
Yeah, I get off here in a few minutes, but I just want to come and say, you know, thank you for stopping by the podcast last night and throw out the premiere this weekend in Charlotte Film Festival.
Yep. Absolutely. When is your next? Along with being an accomplished actor, you're quite a fine wrestler, one of the best that has ever been in the ring. I'll say that to everybody right now. When is your next wrestling engagement so that we can be planning for that?
Pretty soon. I may have some things coming up in West Virginia, possibly South Carolina, and there's some more engagements coming up where that yet to be solidified, but once I get the green light to start promoting them, I'll definitely let you guys know. But I got some irons in the fire, so just like the conventions, this guy got some film projects coming up too. So as soon as I get the green light for the info, I'll definitely let everybody know.
Well, that's great. Yeah, we look forward to all of those. And one thing we're going to talk about, if you'll join us in this until you have to head out of here, we had a crazy day up at the Senate hearings. I didn't get to see much of it. I heard enough to know it was crazy, and we are in a very precarious time for our country to try to select a Supreme Court justice. So I wish everyone up there the best of decisions as they pull through this incredible time for our country. I know Todd said he was not able to catch much of that. Papa Stroh, did you get to see any of that today or hear any of it?
Honestly, I think it's a travesty and it's a disgrace that things like that are going on in this country. For both parties to even go as low as what they're doing to exploit both these individuals, Ms. Ford and Judge Kavanaugh, it's just a disgrace. Things like this should be handled privately and not should be showcased and exposed in the public light like it is. I mean, this and to see it ruin families and run great reputations of some good people like that is just it's totally disgraceful, and I think the parties involved that are exploiting this and making this a public issue should to take a long look in the mirror and be really ashamed, because I think that's this point a lot of people in this country are really ashamed of a lot of folks right now and for putting people through what they're putting through, and I hope this ends quickly, and I hope things get back to a proper retrospective with the country. I mean, because this is ridiculous.
You said one thing I agree with 100% is this would have been much better off had it been in a private hearing. And I think that's where it should have been. I don't think I can guarantee you other countries do not launder their affairs in front of everybody else. And I think there's a time for transparency, but there's a time for privacy. And I agree with you 100%. That's what I think. And please, everybody, tell your congressmen and senators that there are times for public hearings and there are times for private hearings. Papa Stroh, you hit the nail on the head there. You really did. And
most stuff.
I think that's exactly what we will what we're gonna be saying to everybody. Now, Todd, you said you had something interesting that you wanted to chat
Thank
about
you
to get us started tonight.
Yeah, I did. I got some dear friends that are having a their child is going to be turning two and celebrating the birthday. And I couldn't think of anything better for a two-year-old boy, long-term toy, than thinking Lincoln Logs. And boy, those things are hard to find. I went into Walmart. They didn't have any at this particular one. I have since managed, since we got on the podcast here, I jumped online and looked. They do exist. They're a little pricier than they used to be, but they do exist. So I'm happy that they at least exist, because that's something for little minds. You know, when they're smaller, it's great for the motor skills, but for the imagination and, you know, I mean, these kids do everything from building farms if you want to, you know, I mean, I know my daughter played with them and built farmhouse and barn and stuff like that and had her little farm animals going on. And of course, my son, the Marine that he is, being the way he is, he had his little toy soldiers out and playing with them, doing that kind of stuff. But Lincoln Logs, boy, they're hard to get. And one of the best things I can think of for a little boy or a little girl, for that matter. Just one of the great all-time toys.
They're great for two reasons. Number one, they teach good hand-eye coordination.
Definitely the motor skills.
And motor skills. And, you know, I had toys like that. And they certainly did me well. And you know, if I can mention this, when you think about the lack of toys like this, the kids are given a cell phone, or they're given a laptop, or they're given a tablet, so very young, and they say, oh, it's good for them. It builds their mind. Well, you know what? Sometimes you better build your physical body before you start building your mind, because we got far too many people that, you know, and I love games. Todd, I'm sure you love electronic games as much as anybody, right?
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
And all that. But you know what? There's a lot to be said for getting out. And I know that
yep.
I've seen some articles recently. In fact, because I guess I'm a voracious reader, I'll read even if I'm in the car. I hope you'll forgive me for that one. But I will see where, like, parents today, lawnmower parents, have you heard about that particular thing, Todd?
Say it one more time.
Lawnmower.
Lawnmower parents.
You know
what the heck is that?
Well, what it is there are parents, they are tending to take care of things for their kids instead of letting their kids take care of their own problems. These are the parents that go scream at the teachers saying the grading is not fair. These are the parents that will go to, and this is very true, it happens quite often, more than people would think. There are parents that if they get a text message from one of their kids at school and they say, bring me something, I want it. Not I need it, but I want it. The parents will go forth and bring it right to the kid, even if it's nothing but a bottle of water. And, you know, that is not good. Parents, I remember my parents, once I was at school, I was on my own for 8-9 hours a day, and it was good. I had to learn. That's where I learned to handle myself in front of people. That's where I learned to make friends. That's where I learned to interact with teachers, you know, adults older than I was. And that was good for me. But now it's gotten to where parents are jumping in front of their children like as lawnmowers, mowing down the problems. And that's something that I've started. I've seen 4 or 5 articles on it this week. It's kind of strange. It really is. And the parents are going to go to those lengths.
I do not think that's overly new. I think, you know, it's. I think it's that other extreme. Things tend to run extremes where we went from, to a degree, latchkey kids that were an issue for a while. Now that things are going all the other way, because, you know, and I, speaking as a parent, I know Garion can tell you, boy, it was hard to ride that razor's edge on between being overprotective, properly protective, and, you know, and not caring enough. It's no easy balancing act, but some of these people, man, they don't, you know, Let the kid get out there and do things. I mean, they're little boys are supposed to be out there. Well, girls do at that point, skinning in their knees, playing on some of the old, you know, some of the old swing sets and stuff like that. Now, there are some good things for the kids, like the little shredded rubber that's around the playgrounds and that. I guess that's better than the merry-go-round we had at school that was on asphalt next to a brick wall. That's a true story. I'm not making that up, John. I mean, you remember that stuff.
Absolutely.
Swing sets and slides over asphalt and concrete and stuff like that. But, yeah, you got to let the kids get out there and do things. They need to you've been over to the house, so you know we got that culvert that runs, or the, you know, the little ditch area there that runs there just across the street from us. And when especially the way kids are today, nothing makes me happier than to see little kids in down there exploring along the creek. It's, you know, that's the way it should be. They should be out there trying to figure out, you know, is there any fish in the water? Am I going to, you know, can I catch them? Can, you know, while I'm out there, what kind of bug is this? And they'll learn through both good and bad what stuff is out there, but they should be outside exploring, doing things like that, and climbing trees, and oh, heck yeah. They should definitely be doing some of that stuff.
Todd, here's my question to you. How else is anyone going to learn judgment if they don't have an opportunity to go out and make mistakes?
The old adage about bad experiences come from poor judgment, and good judgment comes from bad experiences. That's just kind of the way
it works.
That's
exactly right.
It's called lessons learned.
That's exactly right. Well, these to you Lawnmower parents, I know your intentions are good, but there's only so much you can do, because it's not your life, it's their life. And yes, there are dangers. I mean, there truly are dangers for going out and exploring on your own. But you know what? The day will come that if you don't have experience and you've got to learn to take care of yourself, you've also got to learn with instruction from your parents. You know, there are dangers, and you've got to learn how to take care of those. So, I mean, people need to understand that. So I hope these lawnmower parents, and that's what they're called, and, you know, they've been around. They used to call them the overprotective parents, and they were. They were truly overprotected. But today, it's gone a little too far. So I think what we need
to do is
we all need to back off just a little bit, you know, kind of like, And I'm glad Pop Stroh said it when he was on here. I'm glad that people are realizing that, you know, we've got a little bit too much going on out there in terms of, you know, showing our dirty laundry for our country. And I did hear enough that made me really embarrassed for anybody from another country that would hear what all went on today in those congressional hearings, in the Senate hearing. With Judge Kavanaugh and Dr. Ford. They are both good people, but I don't think either one of them wanted to have all their dirty laundry exposed. I don't think they did. I think it was unfair. And so anyway, I think as we live and we learn, we will get better. We've never had so much media so available to everybody. You and I can get on. We can do a Facebook Live and say whatever we want to the entire world. It just wasn't that way 10 years ago. So I think the media is part of the problem. And they're enthralled, of course, with toys, with the new technology toys. They can do absolutely anything they want. But there's only so much you ought to be doing. Don't you agree, Todd?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's there's a lot to learn through. From that stuff and with that stuff and via that stuff, there's a million other lessons out there to be learned. You know, let a kid learn the difference between a mushroom and a toadstool. They got a a tool that can help them later in life be able to know different, you know, what kind of plants and berries are in nuts are edible versus those that are not, the, you know, the different fruits. Heck, you know, how do I maintain a lawnmower, man? It's just, you know, real life skills. How do I maintain a lawnmower?
Exactly right.
How do I change a doggone tire?
I got to give my father credit about changing a tire and doing something that we don't do much anymore, which is putting on chains on your tires when you have snow or ice.
Yeah.
My father woke me up. My parents woke me up one morning. They said, "It is snowing. You're going to have to learn how to put chains on." I said, "Oh, you've always done it." My dad said, "Well, we're not going anywhere. You can do it." And he said, "All right, here are the keys to the car. Go do it." And that was the genius maneuver of all time. I went out there. I didn't know what the pieces of the puzzle were. And my parents were sitting there at the table drinking coffee. It was about 7 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday, so it wasn't going to harm anything if they didn't get out and get started for the day on Saturday. But I came in and I said, "I don't know what to do. Would you come show me and help me?" And I got rewarded because apparently that was the correct answer, question that had only been inferred. I said, "Could you help me? If you'll teach me, I bet I can do it next time." That was the biggest reward I ever got from my parents. They said, "That's smart." My dad said, "Son, I'm going to show you how to do it." And he did. So then I was always waiting for the next time that it snowed so that I could show him I could put the chains on. I learned a skill. I learned how to use a jack to put a car up. I'd all that. So it was great. So it wasn't work or drudgery, it was fun. Because they made it fun. And I guess you as a parent
and you felt like you accomplished something too, because you did accomplish a real skill.
Oh heck yeah. And what I wanted to do so much was I wanted to get some more bad weather so I could show my dad that I could do it. Now, I didn't do it perfectly.
A little showing off. I get it.
But I got started right. I knew how to lay the chains out, and I knew how to back the car up, and then I knew how to use the jack, but that's as far as it was. But he was still proud of me because I'd gotten halfway through. So, I guess that's part of being a parent. Got up so long ago for some of us, but you still have a cool kid who's now married, and I guess that's a great thing. And that was something that you can do without technology. And I think I'm going to sound very strange here, but I think things you can do without technology are not necessarily bad.
There's a ton of things. Well, you know, 2 summers ago that I failed at my sunflowers out front, the squirrels did me in and the various birds and stuff. But my daughters, I wanted to plant them opposite of what my daughter planted from seed. She planted the moonflowers, and we went out there and we set up the stakes, if you will. They were the sort of trellises so that the moonflowers could do their little vine thing and work their way up. And, you know, that's just one of those things that, you know, sitting out there doing something together, our quality time, and just learning about planting things. Jeez, I guess this summer while I was out of pocket, her and Yuki started some stuff from seed and got various hot peppers and things like that going.
Yeah, but
those
you
little
mentioned
things.
Something. Well, you see, even though it was good for your daughter, wasn't it fun for you?
Absolutely. It was. That's some of that quality time, doggone it. It's just, it's getting there. You're out there. You're doing it. Is the soil broken down enough, you know? And you sit there and you're working it, trying to get that stuff. You know, Make sure you pull some more of that. Look, you can tell that the roots of that weed are still in there. We want to make sure we get this stuff really good beforehand. And, you know, just all those little things.
Yeah.
You know, showing her, and you know how tiny Kana is. You know, you know, telling her, use a hose to fill up your doggone sprinkler can so that you don't, you know, bring the hose to you so you don't have to carry a heavy sprinkler can. You're talking 8 pounds to a gallon for water. That stuff weighs up quick.
Exactly, it does. Well, I'm glad you said that because, you know, physically doing things is fun. Now, I'm going to make a complaint here. I remember when Tiger Woods Golf came out. That was Nintendo, wasn't it?
Ooh, probably.
So Tiger Woods Golf comes out. And but let me go check.
Genesis,
check
maybe?
Okay, whatever it was. So Tiger Woods Golf comes out. They get that on Christmas Day. It was 75 degrees in Winston-Salem. It was an unusually warm day. And so all the guys, the dads, the nephews, and all that, they're playing Tiger Woods Golf inside. And they finished a round of it, and I made a mistake. I said, why don't we go out and hit some golf balls? And the overriding comment was, well, we don't know how to do it. And then I made the big mistake. I said, well, then how can you have any fun playing Tiger Woods Golf when you really don't know how to play golf? Everybody got mad at me for the rest of the day. So I went out, so I got my clubs out of my trunk, and I tipped around the house for about an hour and a half. I had a great time. I was out in the sun. I even got some suntan on Christmas Day. So, I mean, while a lot of
If you're talking 70-some degrees outside and you don't have to be doing the work in the kitchen, there's no reason to not be outside. I'll tell you right now, when we were in Hawaii, we were outside playing volleyball. Christmas, Easter, we were doing Thanksgiving happened somehow or other. I guess it's the games always defaults to football, but yeah, that's the way that one worked. Absolutely.
And so
outside if possible. Heck, I remember sledding on New Year's Day.
And I remember playing
golf. Sledding.
You know, so I mean, it's a matter of technology is wonderful, and it gets better and better and better. But culture world, that we don't start letting technology take over our lives. I mean, now, in fact, I just saw this another pop culture thing. And by the way, it's really interesting. I kind of like the change that we've got. We've gone into the pop culture world because, as I said, I read voraciously a lot of news stories and things like that. I've now seen that waiters and waitresses, yes, I will use the male and the female of it, waiters and waitresses are now being replaced by drones and robots. I mean, how much fun is that to have someone bring you some ketchup, to have a robot come drop it on your table? You feel like you're in the Jetsons and Rosie the Robot's doing it, rather than have somebody come smile and say, here it is, and say thank you. And you get to have a nice interaction. I mean, that's what's happening now.
Go ahead. I'm going to tell you the truth. I would rather, I'm fully capable of going through the self-checkout. But generally speaking, if the lines are reasonable, I'll stand in line for a while just to have an interaction with the person that's cashing me out. Just because it's people to sit there and, you know, say something glib to give them a smile because, you know, they're sitting there and they're working and trying to just keep that line moving and say, you know, just have an interaction, a smile, and, you know, that human contact.
Well, I guess the fact that I'm in sales so much, I go to the Walmart neighborhood market every day because I live with a French family and I understand you buy just what you need. And I go there and I have three or four of the folks that check you out. We have conversations. They know who I am. I know who they are. We talk a little bit about how our day is going, and we share a little bit, and it's a lot of fun. I mean, I got three or four new friends.
They see you, they know you're going to be pleasant. Their day's automatically better.
Well, it's like there's one fellow. He always calls me Mr. Comic Con. He said, "Well, how's it going today, Mr. Comic Con? Did you make another deal?" And it's kind of fun to talk a little bit about what's going on in my crazy world of events. I like that. It's a lot of fun, Todd. And people you can sit there on Facebook all you want and exchange messages. But without that human interaction, I mean, you know, in our world today, without that human interaction, you are dead. It's no fun.
Tell me about it. I don't want to get too far away from the waitresses. I apologize. The waiters and the waitresses. Look, there are a lot of people. That's a job that they start at. I don't know how many college students have done that in the time to make money. I mean, I couldn't imagine. The numbers in any one state must be in the hundreds of thousands easily. That, you know, they get a part-time job somewhere working tables, be it bussing them or waiting tables and doing that stuff, and that's their way to make some odds and ends extra cash while they're trying to get through school and stuff like that. Oh, good gracious. I couldn't imagine all that. Man, that's a lot of jobs taken away if we put that to drones.
Exactly. Let me break in right now, and I want to say, as we're going to start doing it, is the bottom of the hour, and this is Pop Culture Stars, and tonight we're talking about human interaction versus being on the internet, because it's a lot more fun sometimes to have some great human interaction. And I want to make a shameless plug for the upcoming event, the Charles Dickens Festival, Camden, South Carolina, along with the International Krampus Festival, both at historic Camden, South Carolina, and Papa Stroh will be starring in both of them. It's going to be a lot of fun. Excuse me, and I see that the one and only Dave Atwell has joined us. Dave, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, I'm doing real good. Sorry for being late, but here I am.
There you are.
We are happy to have you, brother.
Yeah, it's good to be back, and no breaking trees or blowing wind on this one for me, so it's kind of nice just to be having some normal affairs this week.
Yeah, well, that's great, and Bob Stroh was with us earlier. He had some things that he had to take care of, and so it's been Todd and I. As I said, we've been talking about all kinds of things. But what it's boiled down to is it's great to have human interaction. It's great to do things with people, to have friends, and it's not all about being on Facebook or technology. We can't let technology rule our lives. Otherwise, who are we? We're nothing but messing around with an interface, and we don't get that great human interaction. Now, Dave, I'm going to call you out in a good way. I know that you can have a job. You're a smart guy. You can have a job where you sit and monitor things on the internet, and you can do a grand job. But I know that as taxing as your day job is, you like the human interaction, don't you?
Yeah, you know, when I got laid off back in 2014, I got laid off in April, and I did not get back to the workforce till January of 15, just because of the obligations to the severance pay and that kind of stuff. And when the severance pay deal ran out, it was right in front of the holidays, and I said, well, shoot, I'm going to take the holidays off. And oddly enough, I never really realized it, but I found myself in the house talking, because at the time we didn't have any pets. And I found myself in the kitchen, take for instance, going, you know, getting to wash dishes and going, all right, guys, get you washed real quick, and then I think I'll go ahead and I'll get you a can of tuna, and I'm going to make a tuna fish sandwich. Brad, you better be ready. And here I am talking these inanimate objects because there was nothing else to talk to. And I found that when I went back to work, one of the hardest things I had to do was to get back to speaking to people. And, you know, I had some guys that I work with over there that I've known for years that would come up to me going, "Hey, man, you all right?" I'm like, "Yeah, what's up?" "Well, you're not talking." I said, "Well, it ain't nothing intentional. It's just I've gone for the last 8-9 months being by myself all day. So now here I am back out with people, you know, back out in the workforce. I've kind of forgotten how to carry on a conversation with people." You know what I mean? So it is, it's kind of an odd phenomenon when you think about it. But unfortunately, I feel to a certain extent we're going in the opposite direction, where more people would rather communicate through social media than actually look somebody in the eye and talk. And I think that's a shame.
Wow. I certainly agree with you there, Dave. And speaking of technology, though, I'm going to make a proposal because I think it's important for pop culture stars. I'm going to start we're going to start using Facebook a little bit more during our show. And as we promote our shows each week, we want to start all being on Facebook and making some comments back to folks and really trying to get them to join in, because pop culture is about people. It's about technology. It's about everything. And we want to start engaging folks. You know, we might even want to start moving this thing out to 90 minutes officially, because sometimes we've been a little bit variable. But I want people to start engaging in this great conversation we have, because we're in the thick of it with Papa Stroh in the movie business, and with Papa Stroh being in the wrestling business. I'm in the event business. Dave and Todd are in the people business. So I think we're going to start next week on our Pop Culture Stars site. We're going to start really trying to engage people. So I think these are good things. I think it's very important. So we'll start posting, if I can have some help from my associates. We'll start posting our topics on Monday, which is, you know, the start of the week, and then we'll have our topics to talk about. We want to engage people, because this is the pop culture. We live in a world of pop culture. Dave, do you agree? And Todd, you know you're next. Dave, do you agree that we truly live in a pop culture world?
Well, I think it would be nice to be able to actually interact, you know, with people dropping in their, because let's face it, some folks don't want to get out there and, you know, stage fright to a certain extent and don't want to call in or something, but they'll certainly add their 2 cents online and we can, you know, answer to it. And truth be told, we might actually find some things out. Perhaps there's people out there with other stories and experiences and everything that none of us have heard of, and will actually enhance the experience of the show.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
so
I think
get everybody going on that. Now, that's what we want to do. Yes, Todd, please go ahead.
I'm thinking I watched some of it. You get some interaction every now and again. You get somebody will drop you a line afterwards saying, "Hey, that was, you know, a particular thing was funny," or that particular thing made me think. We start getting some feedback live or interaction live. I think that would be a good thing. I remember before I called in, or you took me as part of the show, I remember throwing one-liners online at you guys from time to time, and Dave picking up and running with the particular pizza chain reference that I made that time. Led to a tangent about food. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Just saying. You know, I'll bring the. And I know Dr. John and I can talk food and get involved in making it and that. And I doggone sure know that, you know, I've seen Dave eat. I've seen Papa Throw eat. Good grief. The speaking of eating, tell you what, why don't you guys keep Dr. John, our, you know, just a reminder that our host for Thanksgiving, their home got ravaged during this last storm. So we want to keep them in our thoughts and prayers. Make sure that, and I made sure I already talked to Yuki that we mentioned, and Garion, and that we have a door open for them for the holiday should they need it, because they darn sure, you know, we're the host and hostess with the mostest. So, but yeah, I mean, we can cover a ton of topics. When you think pop culture, man, it's wide open. It is WFO for sure.
And I hope that if Dr. John is invited to the Thanksgiving feast, he'll certainly help cook, number one, and we'll run our podcast a little early so we can get everybody involved.
Oh, we can do that.
Well, that sounds
good.
I'm
not promising you I'll be home. I'm thinking I'm going to be driving into Ohio and cooking for Grandma.
Well, that's all right. We'll say what we'll do. We'll give you a hall pass on that one, and I'll make sure to help doing the cooking down in Jacksonville. How's that?
That sounds good to me.
Well,
I'm sure. I know Yuki and Casey and or Garion and Mrs. Casey Saxon, as well as Yuki and Connor, would be looking forward to it.
Well, good. I think it'll be great. But anyway, so you know, we've got we're down to the last third of our show for this podcast of Comic-Con Stars, which will soon be going interactive and worldwide, even though it's worldwide already. So I'm going to do like they did in the GE College Bowl. I've got a toss up. Todd, you had a topic for us, which was Lincoln Logs, which started just getting out there and having fun and learning for yourselves. Mr. Dave Atwell, we're going to put you on the firing line.
I'm sorry, John. I broke up a little bit, buddy. Can you repeat?
Yep, I was going to say, Dave Atwell, what pop culture topic do you want us to finish up this show with for the last 20 minutes?
Oh, shoot. Well, not to dig up old bones, of course, from 2 weeks ago, but you remember our topic. Oh, old bones. But at least you could find bones, unlike Bigfoot. 2 weeks ago, as we listened to Lim snap and everything else and me, you know, running for my life, we were speaking on the conspiracy behind broadcasting with these natural disasters and everything.
Yeah,
it's funny, after all we were talking about, how, you know, everybody on the Weather Channel seemed to have a pep in their step and everybody was dressing nicer and everybody's hair was better and, you know, blah, blah. Did you see the Mike Slidell thing where he's acting like he's getting blown all over the place?
Oh, yeah!
There's two guys walking by. I'm going to tell you guys, when I saw that, I thought about the show, and I says, well, there you go. That's exactly what we're talking about. This clown is out there. And the bad news is that Mike Slidell is not some tertiary character, some secondhand correspondent guy. Hey, this cat is one of the main squeezes on that network. This is one of the guys that they go, you know, hey, this is one of our experts. This guy bats maybe fifth or sixth behind old Cantori. And he is out there acting. I couldn't put a better word on it. He was not forecasting the weather. He was not reporting honestly. He was out there acting. And, you know, far be it from me to start talking about hanging people right away, because I, you know, everybody deserves to make their mistakes and learn from them. But it would have tickled me to death, or it would have felt a little more justified, had the Weather Channel said, we're going to put Mike Slidell on a temporary leave.
And
they didn't even have the decency to do that.
Yeah. So basically, they just backed up the fact that this guy was over grandstanding. This, and granted, don't get me wrong, it turned out to be a horrible storm. Ask me how I know. But nevertheless, wherever he was, what's the difference between him doing what he was doing in whatever city that was and him running down the street screaming, "They're coming to get me, they're coming to get me," right? He was trying to stir a panic. Well, for what reason? To get people to watch the Weather Channel. And to me, I was disgusted.
That's not the first one that something like that happened, Dave. There was a storm before, and there was flooding, and the female correspondent. Now, keep in mind, it's not we're sitting there dropping his name, but you know, the cameraman kept the camera running, didn't he?
Yeah, that's true. He had a-
you know, that was one of that was one of those things that he was playing right there along with it. There was one of the major networks. Had the woman that was in the canoe in the so-called flood water and paddling along, and right on behind her walked people, you know, less than knee high, and mind you, the water was still. But, I mean, you know, it wasn't any of this up to your neck stuff, but she was in a canoe paddling for dramatic effect, and they get passes for this shit. Nobody calls them on it.
Anderson Cooper stood in a ditch. Did you see that, where his camera crew was standing in ankle-deep water, but he was up to his chest because he was standing in a ditch? And he was reporting on the floodwaters and everything. And to me, I understand that you're trying to draw drama to it because that's what gets people to watch. I get that. But let's say you live in the town of – let's just say you live in Jacksonville. Okay, I'll use Jacksonville for example. And he's reporting from Jacksonville, and I'm standing in my living room, and I'm seeing Anderson Cooper, who I know is 6 foot tall, up to his ribs in water. What am I doing in my living room? I am going poo in my britches is what I'm doing.
Yeah, you are following your drawers.
Exactly. So, I mean, how dare these guys do that kind of stuff? But it goes back, we were talking about the conspiracy theory behind it, that they're just trying to sensationalize things to get people to watch. Why do they want people to watch? Because they know that advertisers are going to want to get their advertisements on their networks, and they can also charge a larger rate because
that's
of,
right.
You know, the impact.
Yeah,
that's exactly right.
I'll tell you. Well, there's more to it, and I'm going to throw this a bit further. And I'll go bigger picture on. You want to talk about? Let's just talk about news conspiracy theory. If you want, if you think they're not pushing an agenda and they don't sensationalize things and things to a certain perspective, so it benefits them in oh so many ways, you're lying. Because if they have that lack of integrity for a weather issue,
what else?
If it's something that's really important to them, I'm just saying, if it's something that they really feel strongly about? I'm just saying. That lack of integrity is.
Yeah. Well, I think you're right, Todd. And we have to be careful. I know that. I don't think we're going to ever be doing that, because I think the real news, what is it, truth is stranger than fiction? For me, that is absolutely, that's the bottom line, truth is stranger than fiction. Now, I know that nobody wants to know about my conversation this evening with a Reiki master and about someone else doing a mind read on her horse and what she learned about her horse. I know you don't want to hear about that, but that is my truth is stranger than fiction. It was a lot of fun. Of course, as a person in the media business that I'm going to be doing some work with, I'm going to have her here on the show one night. She won't talk about her horse, although Blackie's a pretty nice horse. I like the dude, and I think Blackie likes me. So anyway, but you know, the truth is better than fiction. Dave, I'm sorry to say that. I know you're a fiction author, but the truth is better than fiction many times. Is that correct?
Oh, look, I will fall back to the truth of where I bought those fireworks. And when I got that email receipt, I knew the wife was going to kill me, and I couldn't make that stuff up. The place was called the Boom Boom Room. I knew she was not going to look at $15.42 and said, oh, what could he have possibly done bad other than calibrate his eyes? No, her response was, and I quote, what the hell is a Boom Boom Room? It's a fireworks store, honey. It really and truly was. The truth is stranger in fiction. And oh, by the way, to tie fiction into it, that goes to show you that the Kobayashi Maru is not a Star Trek thing only. Just saying.
Just saying.
Yep.
Sometimes you just can't win.
I think you got a point there. But as I said, the pop culture world is one we live in. And it's one we've got to explore. We've got to talk about it. Why do people spend – why is the second biggest holiday, dollar-wise, why is it Halloween?
Because Halloween rocks. That's why.
Oh, man. That is like maybe the original cosplay. Just
yeah.
– it's the original cosplay. And
really,
I dare
Halloween
anyone to argue with that one.
Holidays.
That's right, but I think it's very interesting that the second largest, by dollar volume, holiday is Halloween. Second to the end of the year holidays, which is Hanukkah and Christmas and Kwanzaa and New Year's. So we're going to group all those together. But I can tell you that's a really interesting pop culture phenomenon that we need to explore a little bit as we go into the holiday season. So
it is also
like
one of the biggest pizza selling days. I thought I'd throw that out for dollar value.
Oh yeah, and also it is the biggest sales day for Waffle House. They sell more food on Christmas Day than anybody else. So
I would imagine
that's interesting. Of course, we love Waffle House, and I ate there today in Camden. My adopted hometown, so it was fun. So what I'd like to do is I want to wrap everybody up with a plug, and then we will say sayonara until next week with our new format of Facebook, and, of course, we'll be live talking and all that. So I'm going to go first with Dave Atwell. What do you have to plug?
Real quick plug, big happy birthday to good friend, listener and fan of ours, Mike McIntyre, celebrated his 29th birthday this week. So, big happy birthday to you, Mike. Hope all is going well, buddy.
That's terrible. I need to send him a message since he is one of my best friends. I probably need to at least call him tonight. But yeah, I'll let him know that you gave him a greeting in case he did not hear you. So that's great.
Outstanding.
Thanks.
That's
yeah,
awesome.
That's great. Good man. And Mr. Todd Saxon, what have you got for us? What plug do you have?
Well, I'm going to pile on that birthday thing this last Sunday, and I'm going to have to send the group into the group text. I'm going to send a photo. But that badass Sergeant of Marines, instructor of Marine Corps Infantry, son of mine, turned 26 this last Sunday. And
wow.
Wait till you see the photo I'm going to send you. You guys are going to laugh because you guys know Garion on the multiple levels of what he is. The from the person to the Marine to, you know, things that, you know, husband and, you know, well, it's my son. Wait till you see this picture of him with the rescue cat that they found during the hurricane. And oh, by the way, I think I have the family convinced that the kitten that they found during the hurricane, sitting in that the mother cat had dropped in the John boat there parked next to the house. We're going to name the cat Ryder, after Riders on the Storm from the Doors.
There you go.
That's a great, great name. That's wonderful. All right, sir, thank you very much. And my plugs will be quick but important. First of all, Saturday, October the 6th, Charlotte CryptoCon, Lake Norman State Park. Be there. It'll be fun. And then, of course, Bigfoot Day, second year, October 19th, 20th, 21st, along with the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference in Kingsport, Tennessee at Bays Mountain Park. And finally,
oh, that's
going to
be
Dickens
awesome.
Festival. Oh, yeah, and then the Dickens Festival along with the Krampus Festival, November 30th and December 1st, Historic Camden, Camden, South Carolina. I'll be talking about those. We'll have some stars from all those events. We'll say best of luck, Papa Stroh. We'll see you next week. We'll see everybody next week. New format, same time. The one and only Pop Culture Stars. Goodbye, dudes.
All right. Gentlemen, big hugs. Take care, team.
Absolutely. Take care.
We'll see you. You got it. Now, where
keep
is
keep getting mobbed by this. Where's the British chick? Yeah. In case you were wondering what those strange noises were in the background, that was my dog making that noise, so that wasn't me, just for the record.
You got it.